In our next couple of studies, we'll be focusing in on Ephesians 4, verses 25 through 32. I'd like to start today by beginning to look at verse 25. Therefore, putting away lying, let each one of you speak truth with his neighbor, for we are members of one another. The passage before us builds on what Paul has been saying about the new life that we have been given in Jesus Christ. The word therefore calls our attention back to verses 17 through 24, which are a basic overview of the new life that we have in Jesus. Since the old man of sin has been put off, since the mind has been renewed, and since the new man has been put on, the child of God now is expected to live a transformed life. I would remind you that the putting off of the old man, the renewing of the mind, and the putting on of the new man are events that took place in our lives when we were born again. It says that we have been blessed with every spiritual blessing. And now, by faith, we are to walk in the blessings that we have received. When the Lord saved us, he changed us. He made us new creatures, as it tells us in 2 Corinthians 5, verse 17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. He is a new creation, the old things have passed away, and all things have become new, including your tongue. New creatures. At the moment of conversion, everything changed. A life that had never existed began at that very moment. That is the essence of the new birth. You were born again as a new creation of God. At the moment of conversion, created according to God in true righteousness and holiness. The transformed life. What does that look like? We'll see in verses 25 and 29, one of the characteristics of a transformed life. Paul, in verses 25 and 29, deals with the area of our speech. The things we say and how we say them are an indication of the condition of our hearts. When the heart is right, our words will be right. When our hearts are right, our words will be right. When our hearts are out of step with the Lord, our words will reveal that also. Christ told us in Matthew 12, verse 34, O generation of vipers, how can you, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart the mouth speaks. A good man out of the good treasure of the heart brings forth good things, and an evil man out of the evil treasure bringeth forth evil things. But I say to you, that every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give an account of in the day of judgment, for by the words they shall be justified, and by the words thou shalt be condemned. Your words, my friend, are going to justify you or condemn you. With that in mind, let's see what Paul has to say about this matter of our words. Verse 25 tells us, putting away lying. It's amazing that Paul would have to caution Christians against the sin of lying. Yet we are a wicked people, even regenerated. We have the tendency, still with this body of death that we have, to behave in a wicked way. And when we're put in a position where the truth appears painful, we sometimes resort to lies. And when we do this, it grieves the Spirit of God within it. Grieves the Spirit of God, who is called the Spirit of Truth. When we lie, we grieve the Holy Spirit. When we lie, we give evidence that we have fallen into one of Satan's straps. We live, brothers and sisters, in a world of liars. We lie at the drop of a hat. Here's some common lies that are part of everyday life. The check's in the mail. I start my diet tomorrow. We service what we sell. Give me your number and a doctor will call you right back. Money cheerfully refunded. One size fits all. This offer limited to the first 100 people who call in. Your luggage isn't lost. It's only been misplaced. Leave your resume and we'll keep it on file. This hurts me more than it hurts you. I just need 5 minutes of your time. Your table will be ready in a few minutes. Open wide. It won't hurt a bit. Let's have lunch sometimes. Let me just take a minute to talk about what a lie is. In simple terms, anything that is not the whole truth is a lie. Lying includes far more than telling direct falsehoods. When we exaggerate by adding falsehood to that which starts out as the truth, it's a lie. When we embellish stories to make ourselves look better or to make others look worse, that is a lie. When we change the facts to spare someone's feelings, that's a lie. When we alter the truth in any way, it is a lie. When we cheat on our taxes, when we cheat in school, when we make promises we cannot keep, when we betray a confidence, when we engage in flattery of others, it is a lie. When we make excuses to cover our failures and our shortcomings, it is a lie. When we withhold information in order to mislead or deceive, it is a lie. These six things does the Lord hate. Yea, seven are an abomination unto him. A proud look, a lying tongue. That's just but two of the seven that is found in Proverbs. We as believers are to be characterized by the truth. After all, the one who is the truth is our Lord and Savior. And we are indwelt by the Spirit of truth. Anything less than the whole truth is a complete lie. Just look at the very term, that's just a little white lie. There's no such thing. A lie is a lie. Matter of fact, Satan is called the father of lies. And the Lord even called a group of individuals, you are of your father, Satan, who's been a liar from the beginning. All lying is sin. And it is contrary to who we are in Jesus Christ. A life that is characterized by a steady stream of lies gives clear evidence that it has not been redeemed. Revelation 21:8. But the cowardly, unbelieving, abominable, murderers, sexually immoral, sorcerers, idolaters, and all liars. Notice that all liars shall have their part in the lake which burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. Notice that little collection of sins there. Cowardly. Now, most people wouldn't think that cowardly should be judged the same way that sexually immoral should, or sorcerers, which are drug addicts. You wouldn't think that, would you? Or liars. Lying is an acceptable sin to people, but it's not acceptable to God Almighty. Christians may fail and fall into a sin of the lying, fall into the sin of lying occasionally, but they're never to be characterized by lies. A person that lies all the time, my friend, is not regenerated. They are not born again. Do Christians tell lies sometimes? Yes, they do. Some of the most wicked lies, some of the most damaging lies. But it should never, ever, never characterize their lives. Hard words in the scripture about lying. Let me just read a couple of quotes that people have said about lying over the years. A lie has no legs. It requires other lies to support it. Tell one lie and you're forced to tell others to back it up. Stretching the truth will make it last any longer. Those that think it permissible to tell white lies will soon grow colorblind. When we're caught in a lie, it undermines our credibility, brothers and sisters. If you're a child of God, lying undermines your credibility. It destroys other people's confidence in us. If we lie to others, they'll never know when we're telling them the truth. If you lie to me, how am I ever going to know when you tell me the truth? The first thing that will come to my mind is not that you're telling me the truth, that you're lying. That's why the scripture says, let your yes be yes and your no be no. You don't have to play games with your tongue. We live in an age of playing games with the tongue. From the television set to the social media and unfortunately to the pulpits of the world. Telling lies. Telling lies. Lying and lying and lying and deceiving. And adding to and taking away. Let me mention a Jewish teaching. And it's this, never forget this principle. I heard it 30 years ago, I've never forgotten it since, and I try to practice it as much as I possibly can. And it's this. In Hebrew, to tell somebody something, it said, la sepeh. La sepeh, like a sapphire, like the jewel. La sepeh, the principle is this. And Father, I pray that you would burn this into the hearts and minds of the people that are about to hear. La sepeh. When you speak, you are to give a jewel, a sapphire, a ruby, a diamond. La sepeh. And it's basically this. If you cannot give somebody a jewel, then keep your mouth shut. Keep your mouth shut. Just imagine the blessing that that would bring to the marriages of people. How it would restore marriages if the one spouse would shut up and not retaliate back. We go back and forth and retaliate. Moms and dads, dads and children, children against children, against parents, against neighbors, against coworkers. The tongue. Using that tongue to bless, not to curse, not to lies. While we're on the subject of lies and truth, let it also be said that just because something is true, that does not mean that it must be told. That's what I was just saying to you about la sepeh. You got to give jewels. It's not enough not to just lie. We're not supposed to be a garbage dump either, just dumping garbage out of our mouth all the time. We must not tell everything we know without regard for its impact upon others. Oh, I'm just trying to be real. We must not unload all the garbage that's in our souls, our hard feelings, our doubts, our hatreds of others. You turn on the TV set and that's all it is two people arguing against each other. I'm right, you're wrong. I'm better, you're worse. I'm greater, you're the lesser. And it doesn't matter what you see, if it's politics, if it's sports, if it's a game show, or whatever it is. It's just two people doing battle against each other. Brothers and sisters, this is like the gladiators back in the Roman days. Just back and forth with the tongue. It's horrible. When regard for the truth has been broken down or even slightly weakened, all things will remain doubtful. We don't need to be bashing and slashing and cutting. While we must guard against using our speech for lies, we must also guard against having a sharp tongue. A sharp tongue. A sharp tongue is the only edged tool that grows keener and sharper with constant use. Sometimes it's better to just remain silent. One Greek philosopher said, I have often regretted my speech, but never my silence. Never my silence. How many times have you said something, you said, oh, I wish I could just get that word back. I wish I'd never said that. Then don't say it. Then don't say it. Especially the child of God. The Lord has empowered you to guard your tongue. to guard your tongue. Verse 29 of Ephesians 4 says, let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth. No corrupt word. We're to guard our tongues against profanity, off-color jokes, dirty stories, gossip. Let me remind you once again that our words are a window into our hearts. When our words are good and wholesome, it gives evidence that we belong to the Lord. When our speech is foul and rotten, it gives evidence that we do not know the Lord. That word corrupt in the text, in verse 29, that no corrupt word is a word for rotten. Rotten fruit, rotten vegetables, other spoiled foods, a rotten piece of meat. And unfortunately, that's our speech sometimes. Death and life is in the power of the tongue. And they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. Whoso keepeth his mouth and his tongue keepeth his soul from troubles. It's that mouth that gets you in trouble. It's that mouth, brothers and sisters, it's the mouth that takes down people left and right. It's that mouth. If you don't learn to control that tongue of yours, that tongue and that mouth of yours will take you down. It will absolutely humble you. And in some cases, destroy you. Or destroy the ones that would hear it. See what it says in verse 29 of our text? Let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, but what is good for necessary edification, so that it may impart grace to its hearers. Building others up, edification. When the heart's right, the tongue will reveal it by speaking words that help others grow. We will edify others by being helpful with our words, encouraging, instructive, uplifting, by being a blessing to others. That word blessed, we get our word eulogy from it. Blessing means to be spoken well of, to speak well of. We are to speak well of others. We're not to lie about others. We must never use the tongue to tear down when we gossip, say hurtful things to people, use the truth as a club to wound and to hurt others and to say things that discourage and disappoint and harm others. We are using our tongues in a way that displeases the Lord. We're to impart grace to the hearers. It was said of Christ in Luke 4:22, and all bore witness and wondered at the gracious words which proceeded out of his mouth. They wondered at the gracious words. And brothers and sisters, is that said of you? Does that characterize your life? That people wonder at the gracious words that proceed out of your mouth? Or is your mouth just like the world's? But maybe you clean it up a little bit. You don't say those four-letter words that the world uses. Clean it up a little bit, but you still sound like the world. You gossip, you tear down, you beat up, you club, you're divisive. What characterizes your life, brothers and sisters? What's your speech? Colossians 4:6, let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt, that you may know how you ought to answer every man. Seasoned with salt. Always with grace. Your words are supposed to be influenced by the grace of God. You say that you've been saved by the grace of God, and you understand the grace of God? Then why does the grace of God not characterize your speech? Serious somber thoughts, that your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt, that you may know how you ought to answer every man. I would remind you once again in closing the principle of La Superbe. La Superbe, the jewels, the sapphires. When you speak, brothers and sisters, give jewels. Give jewels, or don't say nothing at all.